Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Welcome back. It's an oft-heard trope that scary films and video games do more harm than good to children, but experts argue just the opposite, I can tell you. I'm joined now by Dr. Sarah Cleary, who's horror academic, consultant and author of The Myth of Harm, Horror, Censorship and the Child. Dr. Sarah Cleary, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, Cormac, how are you?
Not too bad, but I must say I'm horrified by what you're saying, because an awful lot of calls for censoring or limiting horror films and video games as well, because they traumatise children. But you guys, the experts, are saying not so.
Yeah, so basically what this book is about, it's about 6 or 7 years worth of research. And what I decided to do was I kept seeing these reports coming through that had these minuscule pieces of evidence that really amounted to nothing, which were completely blown up in the press about how horror harms or how video games harm. And I started to say, well, what's behind all of this? So I took a deep dive into the research and I went back over 100 years worth of research. And my evidence found that the whole thing is built on a deck or a house of cards. So basically what happened in the 1930s was horror films very much became in vogue. And this was also a rise during kind of the study of media effects. Now, one of the reasons for this is we get very, very upset about what our children are at during any great cultural crisis. We get very upset. Now, obviously, during the 1930s in America, there was the Depression. And clinical and moral hygiene became an intense focus. What are people at? Well, people are starving to death and they've got no work. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why they're robbing and there's juvenile delinquency. But hang on, we also have the rise of horror films. So let's take a big, deep dive at that. And what I saw was these deep and very unsettling correlations between taste, inappropriateness, and the conflation of those things with harm.
Okay, and so you're saying people didn't like the horror films, so they, of course they were subjective or biased. But could I not throw the same thing back at you, Dr. Sarah Cleary? You're a massive horror movie fan, I believe. So are you not a little bit subjective here?
So I went with, you might find it hard to believe, but I went in with a completely objective mind frame. And the thing about horror is I'm not going to sit here now and tell everyone to rush out and show The Exorcist to their children. We're not talking.
I hope not.
We're not talking about appropriateness. We're talking about harm. And that word harm is an extraordinarily triggering word. You know, hear that term, it's like, well, what is the harm? How is it harming? And is my child going to be hurt by this? And parents are very, very triggered by that, and rightly so, by that term. The problem is that this word harm hasn't been defined correctly, and there is no evidence to support that video games or horror films in any way cause harm in any element of the spectrum.
Well, Dr. Sarah Cleary, I will take your 100 years of research and I will give you my one instance of parenting here, right? I have a 7-year-old who watched Harry Potter and then he couldn't sleep that night because he thought something was flying into his room on a broom or something like that, right? So is that not harm? Being kept awake?
Well, I mean, that's your own definition of what you consider to be harm. But what we are talking about when we are looking at harm is people try to conflate the word harm with evidence for media effects affecting children who open up guns on schools or who go and corrupt and hurt other people or who steal or have their morality degraded. Mm-hmm. Losing a night's sleep because you watched a scary film is in no way going to be harmful in the long term to your kid going forward. I know people in their 30s and 40s who watch a scary film and won't be able to sleep that night.
Yeah.
So the big difference here is appropriateness.
I do understand. I do, yeah. What's appropriate and what's, maybe it's just the effect of the movie and maybe that's just an experience emotionally. But what about violent video games like Grand Theft Auto? Yeah. Because we do hear sometimes, and it is really sad and tragic when you have a mass shooting in America especially, sometimes they delve into the background of the perpetrator and you see they were addicted or passionately into violent video games.
So the problem with that sort of conflation is you can also say you can conflate anything and you can correlate anything. Always be very, very wary of correlations, because there was a famous study done with Kevin Bacon a couple of years ago and media effects. And every time Kevin Bacon released a new film, apparently there was a school shooting. And this academic study was done kind of half tongue in cheek to show just how rubbish correlations can sometimes be, and indeed how rubbish statistics can somehow be, and they can be swayed very easily one way or the other.
Okay.
Now, the problem with looking at that in terms of people opening up, people going in and shooting up a school, is that video game play is probably the number one pastime for children at the moment in the world. So it's a little bit of kind of a misstep to turn around and say, well, haha, they played video games.
Okay, so I do understand the point you're making, all right, yeah. So can you are you saying that there are benefits then to watching scary movies?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, the first thing I'm going to say is, as I said at the start, is that I'm not going to send children out to suddenly start watching The Exorcist. Yeah. Horror is a flavor, it's a taste. And we have a little thing called parenting. And that you assess whether your child or something is appropriate for your child or not. Mm-hmm. And if you feel that your child is able to take certain films or take certain books or take certain video games, well, then you introduce them and you talk to them about what it is. But from a macro zoomed out perspective, the horror genre has always been an advocate for the disenfranchised. It's always been an advocate for those outliers and on the margins of society. And children, because they're disenfranchised, they don't know what's going on, they have no control or agency, they are very much disenfranchised. And if you look at a lot of the horror films in the 80s especially, and now we're seeing that coming back and back again with this 90s nostalgia especially, horror films were very much focused on children, especially children with absent or ineffectual parents. And also as well, another kind of major dominant trope of horror films is, if we actually just listened to the child who told us that the monster was real under the bed, we actually would be able to save ourselves.
Okay.
So horror films teach us to listen.
Okay, well, it's very interesting indeed. But let me read you this text briefly from Paul. He says, my kids were being badly affected by horror shows, so I banned them from watching any more of Erechtis Report. Well, there you go. Depends on how you define horror. Dr. Sarah Cleary, your book, The Myth of Harm, Horror, Censorship and the Child, is out now and will be available in softback later this year. Thank you very much indeed.